Hey, Woman of Strength, this is Megan, your host here at the VBAC Link. We know that planning your VBAC can be full of surprises, but what diapers you choose for your VBAC baby shouldn't be one of them. That's why our team loves Coterie. Their diapers are made with clean and sustainable ingredients, something we know that is important to our community. And the best part is they hold up to 16 ounces of liquid for up to 12 hours of leak protection. Try them today and get 20% off your first order of $40 or more with code VBAC20 at checkout. That is VBAC20 at checkout. Hi, birth workers. This one's for you. In an ideal world, VBAC parents would be treated just like any other birthing parents. In today's world, most medical providers sadly don't fully support VBAC parents. However, 90% of parents with a prior cesarean are good candidates to attempt a VBAC. This is why we have created the Advanced VBAC Doula Certification Program. In this doula course, we share evidence-based data for you to educate your clients, teach you the tools on helping them how to process past fears and trauma, or helping them decide if VBAC is even right for them. You will feel better prepared to support them during this beautiful experience. All VBAC certified doulas are listed on our website so parents know who you are. To learn more, go to thevbaclink.com.
All right. Good morning, Women of Strength. This is Julie Franco, and I am so excited to be here with you today to share a very exciting story. One of my favorite types of birth stories. People might think I'm crazy, but we are. Oh, do you know what? Maybe I'm not going to tell you what the story is. But if you've been listening for a minute, you might know when I say my favorite type of stories, but I'm going to leave it to be a surprise. So we are going to go ahead and read a review of the week really quickly. Then I'll introduce my guest for the day. Okay, let's see. This review is from Apple Podcasts and it's from CCM57. And she says, I am so thankful I came across this podcast and know it was an invaluable tool when educating myself regarding VBACs and the birthing process in general. My first son was born via cesarean due to his stubbornness and refusing to turn from his breech presentation. Leading up to my C-section, I was devastated that I wouldn't be able to experience the natural birthing process I had always wanted. I'm in the medical world and I knew about VBACs, and it was never even a thought I wouldn't try for one in my next pregnancy. I found the VBAC link halfway through my second pregnancy and it was so addicting. I listen to every episode, sometimes multiple times a day, until my delivery. Every woman's story was amazing and truly helpful to me personally. Thank you, Megan, for being passionate about VBACs and educating women all over the world. I can excitingly say that God was so gracious and I had my beautiful VBAC this past August. Thank you to every woman who shared your story on the podcast and for all the women who are listening and expecting a sweet baby. I'm cheering you on. And I'm so excited to hear stories and reviews like that. It's really incredible what can happen when you get a group of women together to share stories and to help uplift and inspire each other. And so I'm grateful to this reviewer today and to all of you listening, to everyone who shared their story on the podcast, and to everybody that helps spread the word about VBAC and helps increase access to people all over the world, really.
Hi. My name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am a VBAC after 2 C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional.
All right, well, guess what? It is very cold today. It's been a very nice 70s and 80 degrees here in Utah for the last little while, but it is now mid-October, the time that we're recording this, and it is raining and freezing, and there's supposed to be snow dumping up in the mountains today, and I am just wrapped up tight in my big poopy blanket and very, very excited to talk to our guest today. Her name is Cheryl, and she is going to share her cesarean and VBAC stories with us, and I am really excited. I'm really excited for this story, you guys. I'm not going to tell you what we're going to talk about at the end because I don't want to ruin the surprise, but it's going to be a great episode. And I'm just going to go ahead and give it over to Cheryl and let her pick right up. Oh, first, let me read her bio. I'm still getting into the swing of things. So sure. I need to remember that. Let's see. Oh, yes. So Cheryl is a mom of three, married for 10 years to her husband. They live in Sugar Creek, Ohio. I love the Midwest, except in the winter. It's getting ready to not be so fun out there. Beautiful in the spring and summertime. Anyways, okay, so she recently returned from living in the Dominican Republic for the last 2.5 years, which is really cool. I feel like everybody needs to have an experience living abroad. I feel like you just learn so much when you're in a foreign country, experiencing different things. I feel like it's very valuable. Anyways, that was a little bit of a tangent, but now for real, we are going to go ahead and give it over to Cheryl. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Hey, well, thanks so much for having me on. This is super fun. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not sure where you want me to start, but I have had two VBACs and very different experiences with both. My first was a C-section. So I'll kind of start with his story a little bit. So he's 6 years old. So 6 years ago, I knew I wanted to have a natural birth. I took like a, you know, natural childbirth class. Like I felt like I had prepared, but I don't think I had mentally prepared for birth very well. I think if I could do it again, I would definitely have hired a doula just to kind of help with the mental aspect. I was 5 days late and I told my husband, I'm not going to work tomorrow. Like it was Sunday night. I said, there's no way that I'm going to work tomorrow. Like I will go into labor tonight because I can't go to work tomorrow pregnant. And so we just kind of was like, okay, we went on a truck drive on a bumpy road. We played mini golf. And so we're like, okay. And we started watching a movie and I was like, you know what? I think I'm cramping a little bit. Okay, this is great. So we finally went to bed and yep, sure enough, a few hours later, I woke up with contractions and I was like so excited. But I was very taken back by how painful they were. And now looking back, it was like, okay, those contractions weren't even, you know, that wasn't even that bad. It was going to get so much worse. And I was progressing great. I think I went to the hospital when they were like 3.5 minutes, 4 minutes apart. And even, you know, I think I was dilated to like a 4 or 5. And so they're like, yeah, you're progressing really well. This is great. And so I figured it was like 7 o'clock in the morning. We'll have a baby by noon. And 11 o'clock, I had said I wanted to get in the birth tub for just labor, but I wanted to get out to have the baby. And so I was in the tub. I now looking back, I think I was in transition. I ended up, you know, vomiting a little bit and just being so nauseous and in so much pain, but the water did help. And then they came and checked me and they're like, you are, I think I was an 8. They're like, you should get out if you want to have your baby, if you don't want to have your baby in the water. So I was so excited. So they came, got things ready. And then I really got fearful at that point, very scared what was going to happen, all the things. And so they came and checked me and they're like, oh no, you're not dilated that much. You're maybe a 7. And so I just tried to keep laboring on. We ended up doing some different pain management and I was just not progressing anymore. And I was just, at this point, I think it was like 14, 15 hours. And so I was just exhausted. And I was very thankful. One of the midwives at the practice that I was at was off that day. She'd actually been on vacation and they let her know, they're like, hey, just so you know, Cheryl's at the hospital. She's having a really hard time and we can't figure out why she's not progressing further. And so she was like, I'm going in. So she came in and she was so kind and she worked for hours trying different positions, just everything possible. And finally she's like, okay, I think it was 8 o'clock at night. She's like, you were exhausted. Let's do an epidural, which I did not want to do because I was like, I don't want needles. I hate needles. And so anyway, I went ahead and did the epidural, got a little bit of a nap and it worked for about an hour and then it stopped working and the pain came back. But then obviously there's nothing you can do except lay there. And I was at a 9 and I just wouldn't go any further. And she kept trying other things, even though with the epidural, finally, she was like, okay, he's actually gone back up. Like he was down and now he's back up. And so she's like, she's going to go talk to the doctor, see what he thinks they should do. And they came back and they're like, it was 10:30 at night. They're like, I think it's time for a C-section. They said, you know, we don't know why he's going back up, but that typically, you know, a sign that things are not going well. And so they're like, we're going to do a C-section. So at that point, you know, you're just so tired that you're like, okay, yeah, whatever you think, whatever we have to do to get him out. And so they end up doing a C-section. I was so tired that I was falling asleep while they were doing the spinal tap. I was just exhausted. And so C-section went very well. My postpartum was hard. I think just first time mom, the C-section, just all those, and then feeling like a failure. And so that was a really challenging time. But right away, the doctor told me they're one of the, in the area, this hospital is known for VBACs, that they have successful VBACs. And so he told me and my husband right away, like, you will be able to have a VBAC. There's no doubt in my mind that you'll be able to have a VBAC for your next
one. Ooh, I love that. I love that. So, they said that to you right from the get-go.
Yeah, it was so great. And so it was like, okay, well, we know the next one, it'll be a VBAC. So we actually had a miscarriage between baby number one and baby number two. So that was really challenging. It was a surprise. At that point, we had actually committed to move to Haiti. And so we weren't planning on getting pregnant, but we got pregnant.
Wow.
And then 10 weeks later, we miscarried. And so it was definitely a difficult time. And it was the year 2020. So I don't think I need to say any more than that. It was February of 2020 when I miscarried. So
COVID ruined everything.
It really did. So it was definitely a challenging year. We were ready to go on mission. So that got delayed until we ended up moving to Haiti in March of 2021. And we were there for almost 6 months, and then their president was assassinated. And so the country became just really turmoil, and kind of it was becoming unsafe for Americans to be living there. And so our mission board thought it would be best to pull us home. And at that time, we had kind of planned, like, okay, we moved in March. If we start trying for baby number two in June, you know, we would have been in Haiti for a year. Let's, you know, we'll start trying. So we had kind of started trying, and then we got pulled out in July. And so it was like, man, do we keep trying? Do we not? And we were just like, you know what? We'll just keep trying. We'll see what happens. And yep, sure enough, in August, we got pregnant again with our second baby, our little girl named Felicity. And right away, yeah, I just, you know, had that confidence that, okay, I'm going to have a VBAC. And I did a really good job, I felt, of like preparing mentally. I read so many books, so many podcasts, decided right away, okay, I'm going to have a doula, and just really prepared. But during this time, we were planning on going back to Haiti. It's so many details, but long story short, we weren't able to go back to Haiti because it ended up getting worse, not better. And so our mission board was like, hey, let's find someplace else for you to serve in the meantime before you have your baby back in Ohio. And so we connected with a mission in the Dominican Republic and end up going to the DR. And so that was a great experience. But also, I waited to come back from the DR until I was 35 weeks pregnant. And so it was, yeah, that's kind of crazy to be in another country and know you're going back. Definitely did not want to have a baby in the Dominican Republic. If listeners aren't familiar with the DR, they have the highest C-section rate.
Oh,
I think I looked at the number really quick just to make sure, and I was actually surprised it wasn't higher, but 58% of births are C-sections.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Almost all of their natural births, they do episiotomies. That's just what they do.
And what? So,
but yes, it's
oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so it was like, okay, there's no way I'm going to have a baby in the Dominican Republic. And thank the Lord, I did not have a baby in the Dominican Republic. I came back and was very ready to, you know, do this. And I had, you know, affirmations, I had prayers written out. I hired a doula and just, yeah, all the things. I spent a lot of time like praying very specific things, asking the Lord, like, okay, I don't want to go late. I don't want to have a long labor. And I want the certain midwife, her name was Leanne, to deliver for me. She's delivered two of my sister's children. And so I was, you know, she's a family friend. She's known us for 20 years. So those were my prayers. I kept praying, asking family and friends to pray. And I went in at 39 weeks and she's like, hey, you're dilated to a 3. You're 50% effaced. You know, do you want to do a membrane sweep? I was like, yes, let's do it. So we did that and went home. I was like, oh, I feel fine. Did some, you know, food prep. Finally got my husband to pack his hospital bag that next day. And then I guess I went to the doctor when I was 39 weeks in one day. But the next day, my husband was supposed to be working 2 hours from where we lived. He's like, should I go? Ooh. And I was like, well, I think so. Like, I'm not really, you know, feeling anything tonight. Let's plan on you going. I said, I'll wake up when you wake up. I'll make sure I'm not having any contractions. So he got up at 5. I was like, yeah, I'll get up. Went to the bathroom. No, I'm fine. No contractions. Go on to work. You'll be just fine. And 6:30 rolls around. Whoa, that's a contraction. Okay, I'm going to go back to sleep. 7:30, a contracture woke me up. And my little boy, at the time, he would have been 3, almost 4. And he woke up ready to have breakfast. And I was like, oh, that's a contraction. And I tracked my husband, and he wasn't even to the job site yet. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Oh, no. And so made breakfast, got in the shower. I was like, surely they'll slow down. Like, at this point, they were like 4 to 5 minutes apart. And I'm like, they aren't slowing down. Wow. Okay. And my sister texted me, and she's like, hey, how are you feeling this morning? I was like, well, I think I'm going into labor. So she FaceTimed me. And I'm like braiding my hair, you know, trying to get all ready. And she's like watching me, and she's like, have you let Javen know yet? And I was like, no, I was trying to let him get some work done. And she's like, sure. Are you timing them? I was like, yeah, I think so. She's like, that's like every 3.5, 4 minutes apart. You should probably call him. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right. So I call him, and he immediately knew, like the phone rang, and he's like, ah, she's in labor. So he hopped in the work truck and headed towards me. But it was like, okay, there's no way that I can sit here and wait. And we had 3 people lined up to take Riley for us. And unfortunately, those are, I guess, 2 people. And those 2 people both did not pick up their phones, and one was sick. And so called number 3 in row. Hey, she's like, I'll come get you and take you to the midwife office. They were going to check me there before I went to the hospital just to make sure I was progressing. And so she had 3 kids in her car. She added one more mine in. And so it was a little bit of an interesting 30-minute drive, you know, trying to labor while there's kids in the car, just a lot happening. But got to my midwife practice, and she was like, okay, yep, you're dilated to a 5. You need to get to the hospital. Thankfully, my husband met us there. So we headed to the hospital, got to the hospital, and I was a 6. And doula got there at 12 o'clock, and things were just progressing really nice. And at 1 o'clock, I think, yeah, it was 1 o'clock, my doula was like, hey, why don't you go to the bathroom? Just see if you need to, you know, pee or anything. And so I did. And at that moment, my water broke, and they checked me. They're like, you're a 9. You're almost there. 2 more contractions. They're like, okay, you're ready to push. So I pushed for an hour, and she was born at 2:15. And it was really an amazing birth. Everything I had prayed for. It was less than 12 hours, which I had specifically prayed, please, Lord, no more than 12 hours. And it was told, oh, you'll probably push for 2 hours. And I pushed for an hour. So it was just felt like God was very faithful, and he answered all my prayers. The one thing I didn't pray about, and now this time I did, was no tearing. And I did tear pretty bad. So that made, you know, postpartum rough.
Choosing the right diaper is kind of like choosing the right VBAC supportive provider. It's all about trust, reliability, and knowing you're in good hands. That's why our team at the VBAC Link loves Coterie diapers. They're designed to hold up to 16 ounces of liquid, providing up to 12 hours of leak protection, and are made of hyperallergenic clean materials you can feel good about. One of our team members, Lily, shares about how she's been using Coterie since she had her C-section baby. And she says she tried a few brands, but experienced significantly fewer leaks with Coterie. It was a no-brainer choice to use them again with her VBAC baby. It's things like this and fewer leaks that make a big difference in our parenting journey. Use code VBAC20 to save 20% off your first order of $40 or more and give them a try. That's VBAC20 at checkout. Hey everyone, this is Megan. Preparing for my VBA2C was pretty lonely at times. This is why I, along with Julie, created a Facebook community for all the parents preparing for their VBACs. You can find the link to the community in the episode notes today, or head over to facebook.com and search the VBAC Link community. This is our safe space to share our stories, tips, and advice on how to achieve a VBAC and ask each other questions. Just remember, studies show 60 to 80% of people who attempt a VBAC will be successful. We're here for each other on this journey. To join, go over to facebook.com and search the VBAC Link community and start feeling the love and support today.
So after Felicity, we returned to the Dominican Republic and were there for 2.5 years. So we'll fast forward to last year. We kind of started feeling like, okay, maybe it's time for us to head back to Ohio. We really loved it in the DR. We had great community, great friendships, and the ministry we were serving with was wonderful. But we kind of felt like, okay, yeah, this is what we're supposed to do. And then we came home for Christmas. We hadn't been home in over a year. So that was really exciting to come back to Ohio, see family. And while we were here, I just was like, man, I'm one day late and I'm never one day late. And I decided, okay, better just, you know, get that test just in case. And took it. And sure enough, we are expecting another baby. So it was very surprising, but also it was just kind of like, okay, well, we were planning on coming home. So now we are definitely coming home. So we moved back to Ohio in June and we were due end of August, August 27th. And I think I should have mentioned with Felicity, our second baby, I was 5 days early. So 5 days late with the first one, 5 days early with the second. And I think just with this pregnancy, it was so different because we were just kind of in a different phase of life. And I didn't prepare as well. I felt like in the last few weeks, I was kind of scrambling mentally, you know, just kind of feeling anxious, feeling not prepared. So I actually listened to the VBAC link one day. I was really struggling. And so it was like, okay, I need to hear some positive stories. And I was on the road going to the airport to do an airport run. And so I just kept listening to episodes. And it was like, okay, other people have done this. I can do this too. And so that was super helpful. And I would say overall, my practice was really great. It's midwife and one OBGYN. But I did not love this time around. They weren't as supportive, I felt. They were definitely like, well, hey, we're not going to let you go past 40 weeks, no matter what. That's our policy. You can't go past 40 weeks. And I was just like, oh, well, I don't want to be induced. I don't want to do Pitocin. I don't want to be induced. And they just kind of kept pressing that, especially the doctor. And so I just had a lot of, I don't know, I just didn't feel super supported. We decided not to do a doula this time. And so the last few weeks were kind of rough. I didn't feel great. You know, it's the summer transition, two kids. Our second one, Felicity, is two. So it's a lot different being pregnant with a 2-year-old than an almost 4-year-old. So yeah, I kept going to the doctor. At 38 weeks, they checked me. They're like, yeah, you're not dilated at all. At 39 weeks, they checked me. They're like, yeah, there's no way we could do a membrane sweep. You're not dilated at all. And so at my 39-week appointment, they were like, yeah, we think it's time to go ahead and start scheduling that induction. They did an ultrasound, I think at 38 weeks. And they were like, yeah, you look perfect. Baby's healthy, not too big, you know, all those things. And so it was like frustrating to me because I was like, if everything's fine, why do I need to be induced? You know, one of those things. And so we were contemplating fighting it. But then me and my husband were kind of like, hey, is the stress of fighting the practice, you know, worth than just going into a, you know, induction with a positive attitude and being like, hey, we're going to do this, you know? And so we kind of decided, hey, we'll schedule the induction. We're going to do our best with everything we can in the next week to make it happen on our own. Lots of walking. We tried everything. And so my induction was scheduled for Thursday, the 30th, I believe, or the 29th, the 29th. And so I went in on Monday and had an appointment. I was like, hey, I just want to get checked one more time. Like, can I do a membrane sweep? You know, that worked well last time. And so I think my appointment was at 2:30 in the afternoon on Monday. And they tried and she was like, nope, you're not even dilated more than a 2. And he's way up far. Like, you're going to just have to be induced on Thursday. And I was just so devastated. Like, I left so sad. And I was just like, okay, we're going to do this. I need to just be positive. But then that night after we had the kids in bed, I kind of just had a little bit of a breakdown and, you know, told my husband, I'm just so sad. Like, I really thought I could do this. My body's failing me, you know, just all those things. And he was like, hey, you know, let's just pray about it. And so that night we specifically prayed that I wouldn't tear, that Leanne would get to deliver, and that it would go really quickly. And that was like at 10:30 at night. We quickly did a lap around outside, just trying to, you know, one, calm me down, and then, you know, hopefully a walk would start something. And so finally went to bed at 11:30. And as I was climbing into bed, I felt a contraction. And I was like, oh, wow, that's been the most painful one I've ever had. Okay, I'm going to go to bed. Had another one about 8 minutes later, but didn't think anything of it. Finally fell asleep, and I kept like feeling them, but I was still sleeping and didn't really worry about it. Again, in my mind, I have to be induced on Thursday. There's no way I'm going into labor. I woke up at 1:30 to an extremely painful contraction, and all of a sudden I felt a pop, and I feel like I heard it too, but I felt a pop, and I was like, oh, that's my water. And so I woke Javen up. I'm like, Javen, my water just broke. And I was like, and the contractions are very painful. And so he quickly called his mom to come over and watch the kids and called the doctor's office to let them know. And I'm like yelling, hey, tell them Leanne's supposed to deliver. I got in the shower, you know, tried to start getting cleaned up. And I'm like realizing that the contractions are like every three and a half minutes. But in my mind, hey, my water just broke. I'm sure I've got plenty of time. I was only dilated to a 2 yesterday. And my mother-in-law got there and I got out of the shower, got dressed, and we were getting ready. And neither me or my husband was in a hurry. But I walked from the bathroom to the kitchen table, contraction, to the kitchen, contraction. Like I couldn't walk more than a few steps without having a contraction. And I looked at my mother-in-law and I was like, man, I've never had my water break this early. These contractions hurt really bad. And she kind of just shook her head and was like, yeah. And then she looks at Jave and she's like, you need to get her to the hospital. And so she's trying to help us get in the car, and I'm just in so much pain. She's like, you got to get to the hospital. The hospital is a 40-minute drive. And so we left for the hospital at 2 o'clock, and I actually rode on a birthing ball in the back of the car, which now I'm like, yeah, that probably didn't help slow the, you know, progress down, but that was the only thing that was comfortable. And so I had my, you know, worship playlist going, and I was, yeah, it was in a lot of pain. I had texted, I had a few friends that I had told them, hey, I'm going to text you when I go into labor so you can be praying. And texted all those friends, texted a couple siblings, just so you know, I'm, you know, going to the hospital, water broke. And my one sister, she does some night work. So she was actually still awake. And so she started tracking me on my phone. And we got halfway to the hospital. And I told Javen, I said, Javen, we're not going to make it. I need you to pull over. Like, he's coming. And he's like, no, just wait 20 minutes. You can wait 20 minutes. And I was like, nope, there's no way. You need to get the car pulled over right now. He's coming out. And so I quickly got off the ball. And within 2 minutes of getting the car pulled over, Javen moving the driver's seat forward and opening up the door and calling 911, we had our baby boy. And so it was the most crazy experience. I, you know, I say he came out in 3 pushes, but really I didn't push at all. And to experience that, your body just taking over is an insane feeling.
Yep.
And so, yeah, the ambulance was headed our way, but they were pretty far away because we were in the middle of nowhere. We were actually pulled over into an Amish farm. We live in the heart of Amish country in Ohio. And so I'm praying, please don't come outside and watch me give birth. And luckily, no, we actually found out who the owner was, and through back and forth, they're like, no, we never woke up. We didn't hear anything. So praise the Lord for that. And I actually delivered my placenta before the ambulance got there. And
oh my gosh,
baby Casey was healthy and just immediately, you know, head full of hair. It was just the most beautiful baby boy, and had just held him on my chest. Javen caught him and then immediately handed him to me, and just to hold him. It was such a whirlwind. It was crazy. Got into the ambulance and realized that, yes, he has a head full of hair, but not only does he have a head full of hair, he has a head full of red hair. He has very, very red hair. And so he was just a surprise, you know, all from every point. We got to the hospital and the midwife came to check on me, and she's like, how did this happen? She said, I just saw you not even 12 hours ago and you were not ready to have a baby. So every prayer I prayed was answered again. So now I know, and I'll tell listeners, if you're going to pray, you need to be specific. Be so specific that you say, get me to the hospital, not in the car. I've learned that.
And that is so funny.
I did not tear. And that was, you know, something I had prayed for, which was really cool because my midwife, and she is older, and so she, I think this was baby number like 1900 for her in the 1900s. So she had always told me that, hey, when you go to push, you know, don't push the head out, just breathe it out. Don't push and you won't tear. And so as he was coming out, that's all I could hear in the back of my head was Leanne saying those things, and it worked. And so that was really special. So she was really, really proud of me for remembering that.
I love that so much. Okay. You know, you guys know I love a good car birth story. it's my favorite. It'll be my dream birth. Like, people might think I'm crazy, but man, I just dream one day of, you know, following somebody as they rush to the hospital in labor and then pull over to the side of the road and I get to document a car birth. Like, that would be the best ever. Anyways, probably not what you would use to describe it, but like, what happened when you got to the hospital? I'm assuming you got in the ambulance and drove over, and then, I mean, they checked you out. You didn't tear and everything. And I guess it was just like, did you go home? Like, or did you stay in the hospital
in the hospital because they were like, it's not necessary because of you. It's the baby. We have to monitor the baby for 24 hours. And so, yeah, me and my husband looked at each other. We're like, we have to be here for 24 more hours. Like, we should have just gone back home and had somebody come, you know, check on us there. But it was great. I mean, yeah, I got in the ambulance and I got an ambulance and my husband handed my phone and I looked down and, like I said, my sister was tracking me. So I had a text message that said, did you just give birth on the side of the road?
Oh.
And I responded, yes, I did. She said that as soon as she saw the car stop moving, she kept refreshing, you know, refresh, refresh. And she's like, and the car did not move. And so she just knew. So that was fun. And then I started nursing. Like, I'm laying there in the ambulance. I'm like, well, hand him to me. I'm going to see if he wants to nurse. And he latched immediately. And they were, yeah, kind of surprised. Also, two of our EMTs were Amish guys. So that's fun. It's, yeah, to live in Amish country, you do have Amish EMTs then. So that was fun.
Yeah. Wow. That is so crazy. I think that is just such a way to highlight how every birth is different. Like, we talk about how every person is different, but like, every pregnancy and birth is just so different and unique in and of itself. And you had like three very different birth experiences. And I love that. Like, I was trying to do the math in my head about how long this was from when you woke up at 1:30. What time was baby born?
2:20.
Oh my goodness.
Yes,
girl.
So less than an hour. I never would have. We did joke a couple times, like, hey, well, if you want your V back, mate, just have it on the car and you for sure get it exactly how you want it. You know, if you don't want
anything,
you know, all that. We joke about that, which now we know you probably shouldn't joke about that. It might happen. But honestly, it was like, I never thought I'd be, you know, I wouldn't ever. I'm a little bit crunchy, but not super. So it was like, I never really wanted a home birth or definitely not a free birth. But now I'm like, man, I kind of get it. It is super empowering. Like, it was like, wow, I had so much adrenaline and just be like, wow, okay, my body did what it was supposed to do. And, you know, I could trust it. It knew when it was time to go into labor. And it all, you know, obviously it doesn't always go that way, but this time it did. It knew what it was supposed to do. Someone told me that their doctor always told them, I never trust third babies.
I always say that too.
So it was like, yep, it's definitely true.
I always say I don't trust babies. I especially don't trust third babies. Like, everything is just so unpredictable, especially when you just let the body do its thing, right? Like, there are definitely times when interventions are needed. There are times when cesareans are life-saving. There are times when induction is necessary. But I feel like the biggest majority of the time, if we just let the body do what it knows how to do, things will happen just beautifully and perfectly. And like I said, there is nuance there, right? And
Absolutely.
It's important to acknowledge Absolutely. That. But a lot of amazing things happen when we just trust and create space for the body and the baby to do their beautiful little labor dance and let things happen as designed. I think it's really neat how... Yeah, I don't know. I think it's all neat. I'm a birth nerd. I think birth is neat. Birth is cool. And I think that there's lots of really cool things to say about all of your stories. I do think it's really important, you know, with VBAC, especially, like, you can have a VBAC in lots of ways. You can have it in the hospital, planned induction, planned epidural, planned unmedicated, in hospital, out of hospital, however you want, free birth, unassisted, whatever. You can do it all the different ways. But I think it's really important. People, we talk a lot about, especially with VBAC, right? Like, laboring like a first-time mom, being prepared for the long haul, you know, plan for 20-hour labor or longer, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like maybe it's a disservice to not talk about the other side when things can pick up and start really fast and go really fast, because I feel like the perfect length of labor is like a nice 8 hours, right? 8 hours, I feel like, is a good amount of time where it doesn't railroad you and you don't have time to catch up and process. And it's not like forever and you're just feel defeated because it's taking so long. 8 hours is a really great length, right? But I think it's a disservice to not talk about preparing for what would happen if there's not time to get to the hospital. There's not time to get to an epidural. Sometimes parents rely so much on having a medicated birth that they don't think about what will happen if there's not time for that. And then being railroaded by a fast labor and not being prepared for the intensities that come with that can cause birth trauma in and of itself, even though the body's doing its thing and we trust the body, yada, 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 all of that. It can cause trauma by having something that you didn't prepare for or expect or plan for. So I would encourage everybody, if you're planning a home birth, if you're planning on a long labor, cool, that's great. It's great to be prepared for things that, you know, for like, I don't know, I say plan for the worst and hope for the best, right? But sometimes it's good to prepare for the other things too, right? Prepare for the things that you are opposite of what you want or what you're hoping for or what you're preparing for, because at least if you acknowledge them and make a backup plan, like a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, then you'll be less likely to be unprepared or caught off guard or have the opportunity for trauma to be introduced into your story. So I think it's really fun to explore all of these different things and to hear all the different stories and how different everybody truly is. And yeah, I love that so much.
Yeah. What and I say? Think, oh, so, I mean, as far as like, man, a lot of people were like, oh man, my husband could never do that. One, so much just like instincts kick in. Like somebody, how did you know what to do? And I'm like, well, I've had a baby before. Two, I mean, my body knew what to do. I just listened to the cues. Well, okay, what should I do? What feels comfortable? But then again, my husband was amazing. I mean, no fear. And you're just like, hey, he caught the baby, you know, drove to the hospital with bloody hands. And he's just kind of like, but he's a hunter and a farmer. So he's just been like, yeah, it's no big deal. And he's just known as a cool, calm, collected guy. And it's like, well, he even is when he's delivering his own baby in the back of a car. The other funny thing is that obviously since we had just moved back, we had to buy vehicles. So I have dreamed of being a minivan mom almost my whole life. I've always wanted to be a mom. And, you know, finally my husband got me my first minivan, baby number three on the way. We finally get a minivan. And luckily it came with like really good mats in it. And like they had a wide like lip around the edge.
Yeah.
Luckily, everyone talks about what a mess that must be. Well, lucky for us, everything stayed right in there. And the next morning, you know, Javen went and got me breakfast, and on his way to get me breakfast, he stopped at the car wash and dumped it out and rinsed it out, put it back in, and we were good to go. So the doctor at our practice, like, you really should write that company and do a review for them.
Yeah.
You're going to have a minivan and have kids. You should probably have that in.
Maybe they would give you a free car. Did you hear the story about the guy who had his Stanley like insulated tumbler in his car and the car caught on fire? But then after that, he was going back through the wreckage, the car was literally on fire. And he has a video of this car he's looking through, and it's like just charred and burnt. And then he opens up his Stanley cup and there's still ice in it.
Oh my
and then Stanley, the company Stanley, gifted him a new car.
Oh, wow.
The natural advertisement for, can you believe it? It's crazy.
Well maybe maybe I need to reach out.
Do it.
But I think it was all, like, I think as we were sitting there in the hospital, like, we can't sleep after that. Like, it takes hours for you to calm down after that much adrenaline. You know, it was like our life the last 4 years really has been crazy. I think we've lived in like six or seven different houses, and just, you know, we have been back and forth and, you know, three different countries basically. And it was just like, you know, and that's kind of that part of our story is coming to a close. And it was like, yep, okay, this is a really great way to end this chapter of our life with a car birth. Yep, our life just will continue to be adventurous and crazy in other ways.
That is amazing. Well, it sounds like you have quite an adventurous life for sure. And what a story. What a story to tell. I love that. Well, thank you so much. Oh, wait, before we wrap it up, I want you to tell like your best VBAC advice. Tell me one thing you would tell anybody preparing for a VBAC. What should they do?
Yeah, great question. I would say prepare like it's a marathon, and that's mentally, and just really think about what you want. What to you is a perfect birth? And, you know, if you follow the Lord, then, you know, ask him those things, because he does want to answer our request, and he does delight in giving us what we want. And I think sometimes, you know, he doesn't always answer that. But in my experience, when I've asked in this specific area, and he has given me what I wanted. And so just really pray about it. I know with every birth I have gone and got a massage. And while for that hour, I just focus on, okay, what is a perfect birth to me? And so that would be my advice, is just really focus mentally on feeling strong and capable.
I love that. I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining me here today, Cheryl. It's been such a joy listening to your stories. And yeah, we
Thanks
will.
For having me.
Yeah, so fun.
Would you like to be a guest on the podcast? Head over to thevbacklink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbacklink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.
Hey everybody, I just wanted to take a quick sec to thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. We are so glad that you are here. This community is near and dear to our heart. We love you all so much. If you enjoyed today's episode, we would really appreciate it if you'd leave us a rating and review. Our whole team here at the VBAC Link actually gets to see these reviews come in, and it makes our day. A 5-star rating helps us share our podcast and gets these important messages out there. Thank you so much for listening, and we cannot wait to see you next time.